As we continue toward week five of the college football season, welcome back into the Bun Sports Show. My name is Jacob Bun. It's great to have you with us as we continue toward this week. There's a little bit of breaking news this evening, and it has to do with the SEC's quest to expand further beyond 13 teams. That is being said by Tennessee Athletic Director Dave Hart. Of course, everyone will remember Dave Hart was the assistant athletic director at the University of Alabama, but recently took the job to become the head man of the athletic department in Tennessee, University of Tennessee. He says the SEC will expand beyond 13 teams. Here, I'm just going to read. This is a short story. This is from WBIR.com, WBIR, an NBC affiliate, NBC 10 in Tennessee. Says here, Tennessee Athletic Director Dave Hart says the Southeastern Conference will expand again, and officials at each school, I think we already knew that though, right? I mean, at some point they're going to expand again. Anyway, continuing with the report here, and officials at each school need to have a number of frank discussions before moving forward. Hart says the addition of Texas A&M as the SEC's 13th team was a good one, but the league's leader must take their next steps deliberately because the SEC will expand again. He says those conversations will take place, quote, in short order. This is all according to Dave Hart here. The SEC announced Sunday that Texas A&M will join the conference. We already know all this. But as I reported on the website the other day, Mike Slive said he expects the SEC to remain at 13 teams through the 2012 season. That is what it says here. This is the quote that I was given by officials at the SEC. We anticipate being a 13-team league in 2012-13. Let me add something to what I said last night. Of course, this was said a few nights ago. First, there are no institutions currently under consideration by the SEC's presidents and chancellors. Secondly, we will have not received any applications from any institution other than Texas A&M. And that, of course, is spoken by Southeastern Conference Commissioner Mike Slive. That was spoken the other night, and that was given to me and all the media by the SEC. So where are we on this deal, and what has Dave Hart just said? That is the question. Is he saying, without saying, that the SEC will, I mean, he says here, in short order, he doesn't necessarily say when the SEC will continue expanding. I mean, I think it's pretty common knowledge that the SEC will continue expanding beyond Texas A&M at some point. The question is, will it take place? I think the most pertinent question to the time right now is, when will these expansions take place? Will they take place before the 2012 season, or will they take place after the 2012 season, after a year of playing with scheduling with 13 teams? If that is the case, then complacency may even be more tempting for the SEC, because you will have done it once. You will have made the leap and scheduled games with 13 teams. Therefore, it would be a lot easier to do it again, if you get my drift. So that is why it's so important to see where the SEC goes here. I think this is the most critical offseason to an expansion that we'll have in a while. Now, obviously, every other conference could go to 16 teams after next year, and that would change everything. But I'm talking about as it stands right now. I think there's probably a 50-50 chance, this is just my opinion, that the SEC will expand. I read Commissioner Slive's quotes the other night, and I said, well, I guess the SEC looks like it's not going to expand and going to try to bite the bullet here, as tough as it may be and as utterly unfair as it may be to some schools to schedule with 13 teams. They're going to try it anyway because they value quality over quantity. And that, by the way, is something I respect. Don't expand just for the sake of expanding. At the same time, how fair is it to some teams in the league to have to play 8 football games and some teams in the league to have to play 7 football games, or 8 football games and 9 football games, however they're going to do it, which they're giving no light whatsoever into that process? How fair is that? And when you play in the toughest league in college football, to have to play an imbalanced number of games. It's wrong. Therefore, I've always thought the SEC would probably expand beyond 13 teams. And that appears to be what Tennessee Athletic Director Dave Hart is indicating here, but I don't really know what he's saying. And has he preempted the commissioner of the SEC? That is the question here. Mike's live. Did he want to keep something not or not go public with what he a plan that he might have in the works yet? And did Dave Hart just go public with it? I don't know. It's just very odd for Tennessee Athletic Director Dave Hart to be saying these things. And he said that, I mean, interestingly, he says here the officials at each school will need to have a number of frank discussions. Those conversations, as far as expansion goes, are going to be in short order. So, boy, it sounds like he's saying that the SEC has something up its sleeve before next season. That's really what I'm inferring here from the report from WBIR, NBC in Tennessee, about Dave Hart saying that he expects the SEC to expand beyond 13 teams days after Commissioner Slive came out and said the SEC, he expects, will remain at 13 teams through the 2012-2013 season. So a lot to dissect here. We will continue to do it. This report, by the way, is on my Twitter page, at Jacob Bunn. If you want to find it and read it for yourself, you're welcome to do that. And we can preview, finally, this fifth weekend of SEC play, and let's jump right into it. Tennessee and Buffalo, they are going to be playing in Knoxville. Expect Tennessee to roll all over them. This is not the Buffalo Bills. This is the Buffalo Bulls. So expect no problem for Tennessee with them. How about Ole Miss and Fresno State? Now, this is one that is played in California, and Ole Miss has already given the SEC a black eye non-conference-wise earlier this year with their loss to Brigham Young. I think there's a good chance, in fact, a probable chance, that they'll do it again this week by dropping the game to Fresno State. What a disaster Ole Miss has become, and the chancellor of the university, Dan Jones of Ole Miss, wrote a letter to the Ole Miss family. He addressed it, "Dear Ole Miss family." Boy, for a second, you'd think this was Auburn. It said, "Dear Ole Miss family," then starts with the Ole Miss creed, and then tells them how attacks on athletic director Pete Boone and members of the athletic staff are not acceptable, and that everybody needs to be civil. It's a very interesting letter. I'll put it up on my Twitter page if you would like to read it, a link to it. But that's where Mississippi has gone. They are now at the one of the bottom dwellers of the SEC, and they hired Houston Nutt, and he was going to try to resurrect the program. It hasn't happened. It's been a disaster since Houston Nutt got there. He had two good seasons, but you could argue that he was using Ed Orgeron's talent. And since he has been in command all by himself, Ole Miss has just been like the Titanic. They have gone straight down, and now they play Fresno State in Fresno, and there was a time when you'd think Ole Miss would be competitive in this game. No chance. There's not a thought in my mind that Ole Miss will win this game, that they go out to California and give the SEC another non-conference loss. But do we have to claim Ole Miss? Does the SEC have to claim Ole Miss? Come on, can't we just let Ole Miss be part of some other conference? Anyway, and then, of course, the other non-conference matchup this weekend in the SEC is Arkansas and Texas A&M taking place in Cowboys Stadium there in Dallas. Should be a great atmosphere. Everyone, of course, I'm sure saw either one of these two teams, if not both of them, play last week as they were in huge games. Arkansas, of course, dropping the game by quite a few, 24 to be exact, to Alabama. And Texas A&M losing by not quite as much, only 1 point against Oklahoma State. A real heartbreaker for them as opposed to a throttling that Arkansas endured in Tuscaloosa. But this should be a good game, and I'm picking Texas A&M, but wouldn't be surprised if this one came down to the wire and both teams were very competitive. Mississippi State plays Georgia in Athens. This is going to be one that you saw Georgia play Ole Miss last week, and they really jumped on them and stayed on them. We'll see if Georgia can rebound this week and get a win against Mississippi State. It'd be a nice win for Georgia in that game, and it would really turn things around. And I can't remember the last time Georgia had a winning record. That would be on the line here. That's going to be on the line Saturday when they play Dan Mullen's squad. LSU at home against Kentucky. I don't expect much of a chance for Kentucky in this one. I think LSU will handle them very efficiently. And then, of course, the two afternoon games on CBS. South Carolina playing host to Auburn. Everyone thinks South Carolina should win that game with ease. Defending champs, though, may have something to say about that before it is all said and done. We'll see. That game out in Columbia, Auburn's second trip in a row, outside, of course, the Florida Atlantic game this last Saturday, to the state of South Carolina. So that is definitely an interesting storyline. And then, of course, Alabama traveling to Gainesville to play the Florida Gators. That should be an interesting one. I don't know. It could be Alabama's coming out party, and it could be Upset City, too, for Florida. We'll just have to see. That, of course, is the game that everybody is focused on. This game features two big-time defenses. Alabama's is ranked 7th overall nationally, and, of course, Florida's is ranked 5th. And you really look at these two teams, and there aren't a whole lot of weaknesses. Now, you can compare the schedules so far. Alabama has, of course, played on the road at State College against Penn State. They've played North Texas and Kent State for their two high school teams for the year, and Arkansas at home last week, which is definitely a big-time game. Florida has played in some decent games as well. They started with their two lower-tier programs, UAB and Florida Atlantic, and then played Kentucky at home before traveling, then played Tennessee at home. I'll get this right one day. Then played Tennessee at home before traveling to Kentucky last week and dismantling the Wildcats. So they both played in some good games. I would argue that Alabama's schedule has been slightly tougher to this point, considering Penn State isn't probably as bad as they looked when they played the Crimson Tide. And Arkansas, we know they're not as bad as they looked when they played Alabama. Tennessee, I think they're probably not as bad as they looked when they played Florida. So I'll give Florida that. Kentucky, as bad as they look. There is nothing right about this Kentucky team so far. Very underwhelmed by the job Joker Phillips has done to this point. He still has time to turn it around, but he's going to have to do it in a hurry. They play the number one team in one poll, LSU Tigers, in Baton Rouge. So, you know, Joker's done a mediocre at best job, and that's pretty sad to say. I mean, you're talking about Kentucky. You can't do too bad of a job at Kentucky, but still, Joker Phillips has not produced the kind of success that even Kentucky deserves on a regular basis. This week, let's look at some of the games in the top 25 on ESPN2 at 11 o'clock. You have Northwestern at Illinois, and it has been just one nightmare of a pre-conference season for the Big Ten. They have lost game after game. The only one that they really won that was a big-time game was Michigan's triumph over Notre Dame, and it took last-second heroics for that one. So they now start the interconference play in the Big Ten, and on the Big Ten Network at 11 o'clock Saturday, number 19, Michigan, plays host to Minnesota. Michigan trying to keep on chugging. They are undefeated right now and ranked number 19. If they can keep it up, they could be in the conversation for the Big Ten and possibly even BCS. I don't know about BCS championship, but BCS later on in the year. Let's go down the schedule here. Of course, we mentioned LSU playing Kentucky. Nevada is going to be playing Boise State. As you remember, last year, Nevada was the team that beat Boise State of all teams all year long. Of course, Boise State is no longer in Nevada's conference. Nevada is still in the WAC. Boise State has transitioned now, and they are now in the Mountain West. But it will be an interesting game nonetheless. And a little revenge, you say, for Boise State, I think. But at the same time, Nevada's good. They always pack a punch. So, you know, as those leagues go, I'm not going to overdo it. It's not like if they played in the SEC, they would be all that competitive. But they are pretty good as the Mountain West and the WAC go. So, it's going to be an interesting test for Boise State. But I think the clincher, if you're a Bronco fan, is the fact that it is played on your blue field at home. And I think Boise State will probably end up winning this game. But that is at 1:30, I should say, Central. All these times that I give out are Central times. And it is going to be on the Versus Network. Number 15, Baylor travels to Kansas State. This one is on ABC or ESPN, depending on where you live. But Baylor has done really well to this point. They are still undefeated, right there in the mix of things in the Big 12. But they start Big 12 play this week, which could be a whole different animal for them. It always has been. But they play Kansas State on the road, and if there's ever a team that Baylor should be able to beat in the Big 12, I think it's Kansas State. Kansas State, by the way, is 3-0 to this point, so it may not be as much of a pushover this year as they have been in years past. Let's continue now. Georgia Tech travels to North Carolina State. Georgia Tech 4-0 on the year. Paul Johnson doing a nice job in Atlanta, but they travel to NC State this week, and we'll see if NC State can win that game. But I'm telling you, Georgia Tech's offense has the ability to put up points, and NC State is allowing 28 points per game. So, I just think Georgia Tech will have an edge in this game. Last year, North Carolina State actually beat Georgia Tech 45-28. I don't think that's going to be the case this week, but we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Bowling Green travels to West Virginia as West Virginia looks to rebound after their unfortunate loss last week, thumping, I should say, by LSU. They'll do that at home against Bowling Green this week, and I would not expect any problems for the Mountaineers in that one. Number two, Oklahoma, number two in one poll, plays Ball State at home this week. And I would think that Oklahoma will probably be able to take care of Ball State. I just think so. Texas plays at Iowa State this year, and how about the meeting last year? Iowa State 28, Texas 21, so Texas, a revenge game against Iowa State. Man, how many times in history have we uttered that phrase? I would imagine it wasn't that many occurrences, but Texas will play Iowa State, and this one is going to be in Ames, so both teams 3-0. Sunny, 72-degree afternoon, evening, really, in Ames, Iowa. So we'll see who can come out on top in that game. Nebraska traveling to Madison, Wisconsin, in what Barry Alvarez says will be the most anticipated Big Ten game of the year, or the most anticipated game in Madison, Wisconsin in some time. He said it's also the hardest ticket to get into a game in Madison in some time. So Interesting game there between Nebraska and Wisconsin. Oregon State will be at Arizona State. UCLA at Stanford. I would imagine Arizona State will probably be able to handle Oregon State, considering Oregon State has not won a game this year, and they're probably the biggest disappointment west of the Pacific Ocean. But I could be wrong about that. With UCLA at Stanford, I would imagine Stanford would be able to take care of them, but Pac-12 games, you never can tell. UCLA could give Stanford a run for their money. It's just the way things go sometimes. Interconference play is a whole lot different than out-of-conference play. I don't care how good the teams are perceived to be or how bad they're perceived to be in some cases. Like, you say, well, that's a win. Well, that's really not just a win, unless, of course, you're talking about Ole Miss. That case, it's an entirely different story. It will be interesting to see how it all ends up this weekend, as all these games, there's really not, you start beginning conference play, and there's really a lot of good games to watch. Even if some of them don't involve ranked teams, they're still a lot of fun to watch. So we will keep tabs on that. Our Twitter for the website here is @BunSports. Facebook is facebook.com/BunSports. If you want to send me an email, you're welcome to do so. It's sportsbun@gmail.com. David Sears will be with us tomorrow. We apologize for not having our guest today. Hopefully we'll get him back, though, next week. Some unforeseen circumstances came up and prevented him from being with us, but we understand. But David Sears will be with us tomorrow to break down Week 5 in the SEC and college football. So that'll be fun. Everyone, have a good night. We will be back tomorrow.